You're listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely.
Hey there, I'm Aaron, and welcome to this week's episode of Reading Writers. This is a really exciting episode for me, in part because, once again, joining me here in our fancy studio, which is our bedroom.
And a stool.
And a stool is my wife, Emily.
Howdy.
And today we've got a great episode for you because this is the big one. This is the most important episode we've ever done.
That's a lot of buildup.
That is a lot of buildup. It's also probably full of baloney. But it is the capper on our first run of Reading Writers. So this is the season finale, if you will. And when I was planning out this episode, I had a lot of great ideas about what I wanted to do in terms of, you know, how amazingly wonderful and fun this episode could be.
And yet you didn't want me to make trumpet sounds. I don't understand that.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You and I just have, we have different understandings of what super amazing important is. And I'm clearly in the wrong. So instead, what I thought we would do is we would talk about just some of the favorite moments that we've had so far with the podcast. And that includes Emily as a periodic guest co-host with me. And of course, me talking with lots of great people about what they like to read.
Yeah, you've had some interesting people on.
We really have had some interesting people on this show.
Do you have a favorite?
You know, it's really hard to say if there's a favorite because so many of them have been so great.
Is it like people asking you who your favorite child is? Like you just can't?
A little
They're
bit.
They're all so different and all so special?
A little bit. They're all special in their own way, which may be the most patronizing thing that we could possibly say about anyone who's been on this show. So everyone who's been on the show, we love you.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
And we love you all equally.
That's right. But you're all different.
That's right. You all have different needs. And so we sometimes might treat you differently and it might not always seem fair, but we love you all.
Yes. So in answer to your question, though, not the do I have a favorite guest, but do I have some favorite moments? I mean, there are a few things that that really stand out to mind, and one of them we'll get to in a minute. But one of the big moments for me that was a lot of fun was actually being able to bring back a guest for the first time ever on the show. That was pretty rad. And that was actually a very, very quickly produced, but very entertainingly produced episode of Reading Writers that had my friend and coworker Brandon Smith join me. And I actually asked him that day if he could do this with me.
It's amazing.
I know.
He gets a gold star for that.
He absolutely, he was an MVP on that one. And so we talked about Batman and we talked about books on the Trinity.
And he didn't do what Tim Jallies did, which was look down upon you for reading comics as an adult.
No.
That's good.
No. That hurt a little bit.
It's okay.
It's, you know.
It hurt me too, by proxy. I felt mildly wounded.
You felt mildly wounded? Just very mildly.
Just well, I know you. I only felt mildly wounded.
There we go. We had a little bit of an issue on social media, and we need to.
You had an issue on social media.
Maybe, but we need to work this out.
Okay.
We need to work this out. Okay, so right now, one of the hot hashtags is Fave 7 films.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, most people who are under 38 will probably have a Batman movie in there somewhere,
mm-hmm,
because there have been a lot of really great Batman movies. So I included one of them, one of my personal favorites, which is Batman Mask of the Phantasm. It's the only, actually the only animated movie that's ever hit theaters. And it's based on the Batman animated series from the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It came out right at the height of its popularity, that kind of thing. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the stronger ones,
mm-hmm,
but Brandon has declared it a travesty.
I declared it a travesty because if you're going to do a Batman movie, that was your number one. It's a good movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The early 90s cartoon Batman, best Batman cartoon ever.
Yep.
Like, not even close. I was watching whatever the new one is the other day. It was on Netflix, and my daughter wanted to watch Batman.
Okay.
I don't even remember what it was called, but it was just so bad.
Yeah.
It was just so cheesy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like the Teen Titans, you know, that whole kind of genre of, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it was really bad. So, I think it was awesome. I'm just saying, of all the Batman movies you could pick, you've got the new Christian Bale series.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Michael Keatons. You got the... I mean, you don't... Not George Clooney.
No.
But, I mean, yeah, I just thought, you know, you had some good options there.
Well, see, here's the thing, though, is I remember watching the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton Batman
mm-hmm.
back when it first came out. It was one of the first movies I saw in theaters because mm-hmm. I'm old enough to have done that.
Yeah.
And I loved it, but I watched it again just a few years ago, and it's so... super cheesy.
It's pretty cheesy.
It's super bad. It's just not a good movie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It started looking better as the other ones came out, though.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's still way better than the nonsense that George Clooney subjected himself to.
I did think Forever was the best one, though. I loved that one.
It was definitely an interesting movie. I enjoyed it.
Val Kilmer, Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey.
I enjoyed it.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I did not enjoy seeing that much of Jim Carrey, but...
No. Yeah. You mean as far as in his tight suit?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There was a lot of Jim Carrey going on there.
Yeah, there
was.
He's
Canadian, so I thought you'd appreciate that.
Well, you know.
Is Val Kilmer Canadian?
No, not even close.
Okay.
Nope. So naturally, this leads to a big question, and this happens with everyone who's a Batman fan, mm-hmm. is what is your Batman?
Mm. So my Batman is the Dark Knight 80s comics Batman.
Right.
Which is 55-year-old Batman comes out of retirement. Robin is trying to, you know, take over the reins.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Batman because he's mature Batman. He's
right.
He's after all of the junk. Here's what you get, this old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And I feel like the recent Batman movies actually adapted that really well, even though he was, you know, probably 35 in those or whatever he was, 40.
Yeah.
He was a little
like
younger,
that.
But he was still kind of old and cranky, but wise, you know, or Michael Keaton always felt kind of immature, you
mm-hmm.
know. I think even the Batman in the early 90s movie was a little, I don't know, I felt like he was a little too nice.
Yeah.
He was a little too nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you brought up the fact that that's like the one movie where he doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Which I think, I like to say that Batman doesn't kill anybody. People die around Batman. Right? Like
he just happens to let them.
Like, yeah, like yeah. Two-Face in Dark Knight, you know,
he
falls over the cliff. I mean, you know, I mean, sure, they were wrestling
sure.
a little bit, but
yeah.
Batman wasn't trying to kill him.
Sure.
You know, he could have killed Joker and dropped him from the tall building, and he didn't. So
yeah,
I just thought he was a little too nice. That's all.
Okay.
I don't think Batman is as nice as that cartoon plays him out to be.
All right. I mean,
his parents died. You know, I mean,
he had a
rough life.
But he has a lot of money, and that kind of makes it better.
That's
at least
true.
The Lego movie tells us that.
That's true. Yeah.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
That was amazing.
I know. It's like we never left.
That's right.
I know. Because really, we didn't.
It's still wicked hot in here.
I know. By the way, we're recording this at the beginning of January, and in American temperatures, it's 61 degrees outside.
Which makes me think that we're going to burst into flames.
Right.
Because we're not used to
right.
Fahrenheit.
So that means it's somewhere in the teens
yes.
in Celsius. And our apartment, mysteriously, has been set to 79 degrees.
Well, it's not that
on
it's
the
set
thermos.
To 79. It's just, it just is. Like, it tries to go to 72 and then just keeps going. And
yeah.
then our apartment is hot. So we've had to prop open the balcony door with a stool. And I'm really hoping that by the time we get back into the living room, there isn't a hideous black vulture sitting there watching TV. Because, oh my goodness, those things are creepy.
They are so creepy.
And I've heard of them just like landing on people's balconies and checking things out.
Yep. Yep. But, you know, that reminds me of a time, not so much of a creepy visitor, although maybe he is kind of creepy to some, but this is a favorite moment on the show when we had a case of mistaken identity.
Oh, you're really going to bring this up, aren't you?
I am.
Why
I'm
are you
sorry.
Doing this to me?
Because it was really funny.
Because you need fodder.
I do.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
And I tease because I love.
Is that why? Okay.
Yes,
thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yes,
it was. So I ended up I was debating between about three or four different books. One of them was a memoir by the comedian Norm Macdonald, who is most famous for getting fired from Saturday Night Live back in the mid-90s.
But I told you not to get that one.
You did tell me not to get that one because you do not think he's a particularly nice man.
No, I don't think he's very funny.
So tell me why you don't like him.
I don't like Norm Macdonald because I thought he was Rick Moranis. That's actually what happened. So I confused him with Rick Moranis in my head. And that's why I told you not to get his book.
Can we keep this in?
No.
This is good radio, Emily. This is good radio. We need this in here.
So what happened is I told you not to get it because I screwed up. No, Rick Moranis is the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes.
No, I don't mean that guy. I don't mean that guy. Who is it that I hate? I can't even remember. Okay, the guy who does the Americans are stupid thing. Like, talking to Americans. He's the talking to Americans. Who's the talking to Americans guy?
I have no idea. Okay,
so I thought the talking to Americans guy was Norm Macdonald. But right. It's not Norm Macdonald. So
Norm Macdonald is Burt Reynolds in Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live. He was the anchor of Weekend Update, and his opening line was "Good evening, now for the fake news." So his is very overt, okay. Like just calling out things as they are.
See, I got him mixed up with the Talks to Americans guy from 22 Minutes.
Oh, okay.
And I feel really dumb about okay. that. All and right. then I said it was Rick Moranis because I don't know who anyone is. I feel like there was a television episode that this links up with somehow.
I'm sure there is somewhere. It's a case of mistaken identity on the Reading Writers podcast.
You have to somehow take all of this and make me look not like a stupid head.
You know what? We're about honesty and integrity.
Is that what we're about?
In our family.
And calculated restraint.
Yes, yes. See, memories.
Look, sometimes celebrities look the same. Like Keira Knightley and that other lady.
Natalie Portman?
Yeah, her. See, I didn't even know who she was. I just knew she was that other lady who looks like her.
Fantastic. Fantastic. They've got to feel really good right now. And you know they're listening.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We appreciate you.
We love you both the same.
All right. Here's one of the biggest highlights that I have. And this is actually the big one of this episode. This is really special because this is something that has never before made the air. This
really?
Is exclusive content just for this episode.
Folks, I don't even know if I know what this is going to be.
You almost certainly don't. But when Kevin Peck and I were talking about his book that he co-authored with Eric Geiger, Designed to Lead, we got off on a tangent that was hilarious because we're both super nerds. And so here for you is a very special moment that, you know, it brings joy to my heart whenever I think about it.
The cockles of your heart?
Yes.
Your cockles are warmed?
Yes, don't say that.
All right.
I tease Barnabas all the time. Sounds like you're kind of tipped into his same reading list, but I texted him and I said, "Hey man, I'm running out of books and you're the most famous dork kid who didn't have a TV I know. So give me some more kids' books." Because I know you got him.
Oh, totally. Totally. Because
you're like the most famous kid in the world who didn't have a TV.
Yeah, he's never going to outlive that. So
yeah, that's nope. Who he is.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, I have the dork on the other side. So I've got the comic books going on. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I missed all that, but I was like a Night Elf level 15 Dungeons & Dragons master. So.
Nice. There you go.
So it's a hard mix for me because I have that background and I was a college athlete. It's just a...
How does that even happen?
Weird mix of people. I told my wife, I go, but the battle is over because I'm not an athlete anymore. So I'm just full-fledged orc now.
You're just embracing nerd, huh?
I am one ticket away from Comic-Con, man. There like, I'm ready to go. I just have never been invited.
There you go. Well, I mean, you've got close, right? Like, I mean, we've got, we've got in our circles TGC, T4G, all that kind of stuff. And that's just, like, theology nerd prom, so.
That's exactly right. I tell those guys all the time, I'm like, man, if you guys would talk a little bit more about, like, fantasy novels, I might read you more often.
Well, you know, I think it's possible to convince Tim Keller of that. All right, there we go. So there we have it. That's the moment.
That was amazing.
Wasn't it, though? I mean, can't you just imagine, though, that of, like, all the TGC guys, Keller would absolutely be the guy who's all about the fantasy novels?
I guess we'll never know, though.
It's true. I mean, unless we can convince him to be on the show, and I'm assuming that after this, there's absolutely no chance.
I don't know if his people would... Does he have people?
I'm sure he probably does have people.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe.
Maybe.
Could get surprised.
You could get a call from one of his people one day.
Yeah,
say, hey, right. We heard you talking about him.
Yeah.
We'd love to have him on your show.
Absolutely.
It's a great moment for him to be able to be on your podcast.
I know. It's such a big deal. I mean, my very important burgeoning media empire in my bedroom on a stool.
Yes, it is. Sorry.
It's magical. Brings a tear to my eye just thinking about it.
Or is that sweat? Because it's so stinking hot in here.
I think
still.
It might be that.
Okay.
All right. And so that brings us to the end of this episode of Reading Writers. Thanks so much for listening to the first 28 episodes of this show. And coming up in the future, here's what's going to be happening. We're going to be back in a few weeks with some brand new episodes with brand new guests. Talking about lots of different things.
And way better guests than me.
Oh, come on. We love you just the same.
Okay. I guess I feel okay about that.
Okay, that's good. So, but we are going to be bringing in some new guests. We'll be talking about some new books, talking about their books, and all kinds of different things. Maybe we'll get one or two return ones. I'm still holding out that there's a chance of one super big important person that I'm a really big fan of who I'm not going to say.
What a teaser you just threw out.
I know,
there.
I'm what? Such a tease.
That's
I'm
amazing. I mean, you can't just say, you can't do that.
I'm sorry, but I have to. I have to leave them wanting more.
But everybody's going to be on bated breath.
I know. So, but here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do in the meantime, while you're waiting for this great moment. Over the next few weeks, you're going to get a few best of episodes of Reading Writers. And so in those ones, they're going to be super short. You're going to hear just some of the really good advice that has come from people who've joined me on the show so far. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. I hope you dig it. And for now, if you have feedback on how you think the first season has been, I'd love to hear it. You can connect with me on Twitter at Aaron Strongarm. You can shout out to Emily at Strongarm Emily on Twitter as well, and just say hey and give her some positive feedback only.
Yes, only positive feedback. My ego is very fragile, people. My ego is very fragile.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. So thanks for listening, and we look forward to joining you again with season 2.
And we love you all the same, even if we sometimes treat you differently.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Reading Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review and a rating on iTunes. Your reviews help other people find the show. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/AaronStrongarm. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/bloggingtheologically. And for more content, please visit bloggingtheologically.com. I'm Aaron Armstrong, and I'll be back next week with a new episode of Reading Writers.